Welcome to the Distant Learning Program of Atomic Energy Education Society, Mumbai. Today, we shall discuss the second chapter of Hornbill, namely, we are not afraid to die if we can all be together, by Gordon Cook and Alan East. Gordon Cook had a desire. He wanted to sail in his own ship and duplicate the round-the-world voyage made 200 years earlier by Captain James Cook. Captain James Cook was a renowned British explorer, navigator, cartographer, and a captain in the British Royal Navy. The story is a first-person account of the narrator, Gordon Cook. The story, We Are Not Afraid to Die, If We Can All Be Together, is a story of extreme courage and skills exhibited by Gordon Cook, his family, especially his little children, and the crewmen in a war with nature, war with water, and war with gigantic waves for survival. The story teaches us many inspiring lessons. The first and the foremost, importance of endurance. It also teaches us the impact of optimism in one's life. How optimism can change the complete course of your life. It deals with role of family. And it also emphasizes that age is just a number. The narrator drives home the message that optimism, strong willpower, grit, determination, and the strong support of the family can help one come out of any disastrous situation with success and, of course, enriching experience. Before we discuss the story, let's meet the main characters of the story. We have the narrator, Gordon Cook, who is a 37-year-old businessman. Then we have Mary, Cook's wife, Suzanne, Cook's 7-year-old daughter, Jonathan, Cook's 6-year-old son, and two of his crewmen, Larry Vigil and Herb Silger. We also have the boat, Wave Walker, which is 23 meters and 30 tons. We already know the purpose of the voyage. The purpose of the voyage was to duplicate the round-the-world voyage made 200 years earlier by Captain James Cook. Now, we all know, undertaking a voyage is not an easy task. Hence, the author, the narrator, and his wife had to make a lot of preparations. For the past 16 years, the narrator and his wife had been spending all their leisure time honing their seafaring skills in British water. They had also arranged a professionally built boat, which they had named as Wave Walker. Very appropriate name indeed. The narrator and his wife had spent months together fitting it out and testing it in the roughest weather they could find. Now we move on to the first leg of the voyage. In July 1976, the narrator, his wife Mary, son Jonathan, and daughter Suzanne set sail from Plymouth, England, to duplicate the round-the-world voyage made 200 years earlier by Captain James Cook. They took the voyage in their professionally built ship, the Wave Walker. The first leg of their planned 3-year journey, which was of 1,05,000 kilometers, passed very pleasantly. They sailed down the west coast of Africa to Cape Town in South Africa. But before heading east, they very sensibly decided to take two experienced sailors with them. One, Larry Vigil, he was an American, and Herb Selger, a Swiss. And they did so to tackle one of the world's roughest seas that they were going to face, the Southern Indian Ocean. Things went on well on the very first day, but second day out of Cape Town, they encountered strong winds, strong gales, which continued for next few days. The narrator wasn't worried about the gale, but the size of the waves, which were almost up to 15 meters, as high as the main mast, was certainly a matter of concern. December 25th, as we all know, is Christmas Day. By December 25th, they had reached 3,500 kilometers east of Cape Town. But then, the weather became atrocious, extremely bad and unpleasant. Though the weather was bad, it did not refrain them from making the day a wonderful one. They had a wonderful holiday with a Christmas tree. They celebrated Christmas with zeal and enthusiasm. The weather continued to worsen. On January 2nd, they were struck by the first calamity. The condition worsened. Waves became gigantic and the winds were screaming. They were sailing with only a small jib. Still, they were making 8 knots. They faced enormous waves, and to slow their boat down, they dropped jib. After they had done this, they went through all the life raft skills, attached lifelines, donned oilskins and life jackets, and they waited in apprehension of the approaching storm. Impending disaster. The first indication of the impending disaster came around 6 p.m. with ominous silence. The wind dropped. The sky grew dark. They were approached by what they thought to be a cloud, but was a wave as big as a cloud. There was a thunderous explosion which shook the deck. The torrent of green and white water broke all over the ship. And because of this, the author's head smashed right into the wheel. He was flying overboard and sinking below the waves. He almost lost his consciousness, and because he couldn't further do anything, he accepted his approaching death. When he had decided that his end was inevitable, all of a sudden, the narrator's head popped out of the water due to the force of the wave. And he could see Wave Walker was very close by and was almost nearing capsizing. The mast of the boat was almost horizontal. He saw Wave Walker to be on the verge of overturning when another huge wave turned it upright again. Remember, the boat had his family members, his wife and his kids. Therefore, he decided that he must do something. By then, his life jacket had become tight. He grabbed the guardrails of the boat and sailed into the main boom of the boat. The waves that were pouring inside were so powerful that he got tossed around the deck like a rag doll, a very, very light doll. He was injured very badly. His left ribs cracked, his teeth were broken, and his mouth was full of blood. Still, he somehow managed to find the wheel, lined up the next wave, and was fully determined to face the next wave. There was water all around, and the narrator was anxious that it had filled the lower part of the ship. He did not dare to leave the wheel to examine the damaged parts. Luckily for him, at the same time, Mary shouted that the decks were broken and they were sinking. Immediately, the narrator asked Mary to take charge of the wheel, and he rushed outside. And when he reached out, he saw the crewmen pumping water out frantically. A lot of things were floating noisily around because of excessive water. The narrator was panicky. He wanted to know about the well-being of the children. Therefore, he struggled through water to their cabin to check on them. When he reached the cabin of the children, he found them safe. The children had already settled on the upper bunk of the bed. The daughter, Sue, had a big bump above her eyes, but she did not fuss about it. He left the children's cabin as his chief concern now was to save the wave walker. The starboard side was struck open, because of which they were taking more water. With every wave, there was more and more water. He realized that if he did not make some repairs urgently, the boat would sink. Somehow, he managed to cover the opening holes with canvas, waterproof thatched covers. He could finally prevent the water from seeping in. Then he went in search of hand pumps. But the hand pumps that they had been using all this while had started to block up with the floating debris which was floating around. And the electric pump short-circuited and the water level rose threateningly. The spare hand pump had wrenched overboard along forestay sail, the jib and dinghies, the anchor from the deck. He was lucky enough to get two more working electric pumps. These people try to get connected to Mayday calls. Mayday calls are, calls of this, usually you send distress signals during emergency, and when somebody gets these signals, they come for your rescue. But their Mayday calls were all in vain, because they were far away from the mainland. They were somewhere in the remote corner of the world. Sue's head had swollen alarmingly. She had two enormous black eyes. She also had a deep cut on her arm. She did not inform her parents about her injury, as she knew very well that her father was attending to the most serious issue, saving Wave Walker and the life of all on board. With this, we come to the end of the first part. In the second part, we would see what course of action the narrator takes to save his family. Thank you. Have a wonderful day ahead.